Good morning and welcome to Green Tea Conversations, the radio show that delves into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine to bring you the local experts who share their progressive ideas and the latest information and insights needed so you can lead your best life. I'm your host, Candy Brothel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine, and I am honored to bring these experts to you. On today's show, we have Michael Allen, CEO of All Energy Solar, a full-service solar energy company located in St. Paul. All Energy Solar has been providing clean, green solar energy solutions for residential, commercial, agricultural, and government clients since 2009. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks, Candy. Really happy to be here.
To get us started, I'm just going to ask you if you could please just tell us a bit about All Energy Solar and the work that you're doing.
Just a little background on our company. My brother and I are the owners of the company. Started the company back in 2009, in his dining room, and have slowly grown the company now to over 150 employees. We have offices in three states, and we are licensed and build projects. In 2020, we will have built projects in over 25 different states.
Oh my goodness!
So it's pretty exciting, yeah. And it's all grassroots grown and organic.
So what is it that actually got you interested in starting it in the first place? What were you doing before this?
Before solar, I was in college. So I feel very fortunate to have learned at a very early age, approximately ninth grade of middle school, high school. My parents built a home. The architect would come over and show us the drawings. And I remember one time the architect mentioned, hey, you know, the house you're building has a nice big southwest facing roof. You should put solar on it. That at an early age piqued my interest. When I was in college, I wrote All Energy Solar's business plan.
Oh,
and started writing it my freshman and sophomore year. My senior year, I did my senior thesis. So what got me into solar? An architect went in 1990, got me interested in solar, and then I kind of took off from there.
Wow. Isn't it interesting what happens when we watch as a child? I mean, really, you were just a kid, but watching your parents go through this and then seeing where that can take you. So you started the business with your brother, who also then must have been very interested in renewable energy as well.
Absolutely. I think it just stems from our upbringing. Our parents always taught us that it was important to be good stewards of the environment. And we spent a lot of time outdoors as a family. And one thing I always remember is being in Boy Scouts, being in Cub Scouts, and then being in Weeblos, and then being in Boy Scouts was we'd go camping, and it was always important to leave the campground cleaner than the way that you found it. And it just seemed like that same motto carried over into my life, into my brother's life. And so from an early age, I think we just believed that there was a better way to generate electricity, knowing and having seen solar electricity implemented previously. So it was a natural stepping stone for us to get into the energy industry.
So help us to understand exactly how solar energy works. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. We see the energy we see the solar panels, but we don't quite understand how it actually works.
Yeah, it's I could go into a lot of the chemistry behind it, but I think that would probably bore people. The technology is actually very simple. It dates back to as early as 1954. Bell Laboratories here in the United States developed the first photovoltaic solar cell. And it's a basic concept where we take photons from the sun. Those photons were able to turn into direct current or DC energy. So as that photon hits a solar panel or solar cell, it starts creating a direct current. And then our goal is to take that direct current and turn it into usable household electricity. the same type of electricity that we use when we turn on our lights or run our dishwasher or turn on our microwave. Typically in most homes, you're going to be running AC, and that's alternating current. We take that DC that the solar panels produce and we invert it to AC electricity through an inverter. And then at that point, the electricity flows into our home and it's running through the wires in our home. And it's just like any other type of electricity that we receive from the utility company. The really neat part about solar when you have it on your home is that your home naturally uses the solar electricity first. As you're producing power, the solar is actually feeding the need for any of the appliances that are using power at that point. Any extra power that you don't use gets fed back onto the grid.
So help us to understand, how does it get fed back onto the grid?
One way to think about it, everybody's familiar with their breaker panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically in your garage or your basement. It's in a corner that's all dusty and it's really gnarly to get to. But we all have to go there at one point or another to go turn on a tripped breaker. One way to think of solar is it's just another large appliance, just like your dryer or your oven. They all require a special breaker for that. Solar requires a special breaker for it. But the difference is we actually push power onto your electrical panel instead of drawing power from your electrical panel. Just like an appliance, but the difference is we push power onto that electrical panel and then then the electricity starts chipping away at every single breaker and says, well, does breaker number 52, does it need electricity? Oh, no, all the lights are off in the bathroom. Okay, doesn't need electricity. Go to the next breaker, and it starts feeding all of the needs for the electricity. And if by the time it gets to the top of your electrical panel, if there's any extra electricity that your home hasn't used, then it goes in the path of least resistance, and it's going to then go back out onto the grid, and your electrical meter will actually spin backward.
Wow. Well,
it's a very mechanical type process. It's essentially running electricity from left to right instead of right to left.
That is really interesting. When I was a child, my parents were really into everything organic and farming and renewable energy, solar has come such a long way from this 52-year-old person looking back and seeing what it can do today. I mean, it's really impressive. And it must be, I mean, this might sound kind of geeky, but it must be really fun to watch your electricity dial actually go backwards.
It's unbelievably fun. When I got into the industry, the digital meter was not really a thing. Mm-hmm. It was more of your analog meter, which is you kind of think of it as like a meat slicer. Everybody had that type of meter. And so it was one of the coolest aspects of the job was being able to turn on a solar system, walk over to the meter, watch the spinning dial get slower and slower and slower, and then all of a sudden stop and start spinning backwards. And what an experience, what an exhilarating part of the job. Every consumer, every customer absolutely loved it. So yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I would really love to watch that happen. So that's really interesting. But help us to understand, it seems that, in Minnesota, we have very long winters. We have lots of cloudy days, sometimes inclement weather or lots of trees around. Is solar really a good option when it comes to renewable energy in Minnesota?
Absolutely. I think most people are surprised by this. But in Minnesota, we receive approximately 4.7 hours of direct sunlight on average every day. It doesn't sound like a lot. Like if you're looking out the window right now, as I am, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's been sunny for hours. But yesterday was pretty cloudy. The day before that was pretty cloudy too. Point of it is, though, is 4.7 hours is actually a pretty reasonable amount of sunlight in comparison to other states within the United States. 4.7 hours is equivalent to Houston, Texas.
Really?
Most people don't recognize that when we get sunlight, we don't have a lot of clouds. We have some cloudy, gloomy days in the winter, but we also have really bright, beautiful, zero cloud days in the winter as well. And so what we have to do is we have to take all of that into consideration and compare it from state to state to state. And Minnesota, all in all, is a great state for solar electricity. The difference here is that we have this little thing called snow, and snow can wreak havoc on solar systems, but it also can be it can be advantageous. There was a study done by a colleague from another company that showed the best way to clean a solar panel was by snow. It was actually better than a human cleaning the solar panel. Snow did a better job than humans actually did. So the other neat thing about snow is that we get light reflecting off of it.
Yes.
So you can actually pick up a little bit extra production due to the snow being next to the panels.
I'm glad you said that. I was just going to ask you about that. Well, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Michael. And for people who want to learn more, or if you'd like to schedule a free solar quote, visit allenergysolar.com. You can find a podcast of this show on am950radio.com, on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. You're listening to Green Tea Conversations on am950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Green Tea Conversations, where we delve into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine and talk to the professionals who share their expertise on natural health with you. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, and today we're visiting with Michael Allen, CEO of All Energy Solar, a full-service solar energy company located right here in St. Paul. So Michael, just before the break, we were starting to kind of get into how solar works and is it a good choice here for Minnesota? And I'm just kind of curious, how much energy can we expect to generate from a solar system that's installed in our homes, say here in the Twin Cities?
That's a great question. And it's difficult to answer with that little amount of information. But I can kind of provide some other leading questions to that. So the first question that we look at is how much electricity do you need? Mm-hmm. And so, Candy, you and I actually might live in the exact same sized home. You have two children and I have six children. I really don't have six children, but if I did, but theoretically we could still live in the same size home. And so basing it off of home square footage doesn't always make a lot of sense. It really comes down to how much electricity your home uses versus my home versus anyone else's. And so we always have to dig into that. We typically ask for somebody's 12 months of electric bills so we can really understand what their energy usage profile looks like over the entire year. So we look at that and then we can very clearly decide, okay, they need 10 panels or 15 panels or 20 solar panels to cover their electricity usage over the entire year. And the way that we calculate that is based off of where we would install the solar equipment. The biggest question we look for is unobstructed, unshaded areas. Typically your roof and ideally your south-facing roof. You know, we're in the northern hemisphere. We want to point the panels to the south towards the equator. So ideally we put it on the south. And if we have to put it on the east or the west, that's okay too. Sometimes those are good locations for solar equipment as well. But once we figure out the right mix as to how many we can put on those roof faces or if we have to put it on the ground, once we figure out how it's going to perform, we can tell you exactly what it's going to do. And in some cases, it'll produce more electricity than you need. And in some cases, it'll produce less. And there are situations where we're sometimes unable to produce all of the electricity that a homeowner needs. But more often than not, we can typically get a customer above 80 to 90% of their total consumption. And then typically we see a lot of customers say, well, that extra 10%, I'm going to become a little bit more efficient. I'm going to make sure to go change my light bulbs to LEDs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put in some more insulation. It is a science. The technology is allowing it to become more and more accurate year after year. And it's getting really exciting to know that we can be within a percentage or two as to what we say the system's going to do with regards to what it actually does do.
One of the things that I'm curious about is how much maintenance is necessary for a homeowner?
It's a good question. And again, it's kind of one of those things where it's situational. More often than not, no, there isn't anything that you need to do. Now, the operation and maintenance of a solar system is usually very minimal. There's no buttons to push. There's no levers to pull. You don't have to wake up in the morning before the sun gets up and make sure that your solar system's ready to go. You don't have to do any of that.
The sun or...
Yeah, the solar system just turns on by itself and turns off by itself every day. You know, and something that we like to remind people about is that this equipment is not something that's new and latest and greatest. A lot of this stuff is tried and true technology that's been around for 20, 30, 40 years. So it's meant to last for a long time, and it's designed that way. But as far as the other maintenance components, we ask our customers to keep an eye on the solar panels, to check them monthly to see if there's a tree branch on them or a bunch of leaves. That obviously can impede how much sunlight will get to your solar panel. And then as far as snow goes, which we mentioned earlier, is something that we have to deal with here in Minnesota. We typically encourage our customers not to get too involved with removing snow because we don't like people climbing on the roofs in the winter.
Right.
But if you are able to do it in a safe way, it only is going to help with how much energy your panels are going to produce if you can clean off a little bit of snow that gets on them. Right. That being said, solar panels are also glass. And so as the sun warms up, it starts to create a wicking effect, and the snow typically comes off the panels pretty fast.
Oh,
on a nice
okay.
sunny day. Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it very much. I was mentioning earlier that, you know, when I was a kid, my parents were really always looking at solar, and I know things have changed so greatly since then. But even in the last 10 years, how has the technology changed? How has it improved?
Well, 10 years is a pretty long time in the solar energy industry, especially the last 10 years, let's just say that. But some of the biggest improvements have been, I would say, the first one is that we have this lovely thing called the internet, and the internet allows us to now see and visualize things that we never really thought we could. When I first got into solar, we were not monitoring systems. We were monitoring them, but we physically have to go out to the equipment and look at it. And that's not the easiest thing to do when you live in Minnesota and your solar system's out on your detached garage on the other side of your yard. You don't want to go out there and look at it. So one of the cooler things has been the opportunity or the ability to look at our projects and or a customer's project on their phone. They can look at it and they can see how well it's producing and how much energy it's producing for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year. The monitoring aspect to solar has really changed things. The other big piece I would say is definitely much newer than 10 years. I would say it really hasn't been widely available for consumers up until just the last couple years. And that's storage, energy storage. It's been something that's been available for a very long time, but having it be financially viable really just started taking off within the last couple of years. And so we're now able to, I had mentioned earlier, if your solar system produces more electricity than you need, traditionally just sell it back to the utility company. Well, now some utility companies don't necessarily want to buy that electricity from you. And so instead of selling it to them, you can just dump that excess power into a battery. And so when you're at work and it's beautiful sunny day outside, and the sun's producing a ton of power, and hopefully you've turned off all your lights, you're not using any power in the home, your solar system is consistent, typically going to just feed back electricity onto the grid. Well, instead of feeding it back to the grid, it can dump it into a battery. And then when you come at home at night, you can start using the electricity from that battery instead of electricity from the grid. And so it almost makes it a little bit more of a holistic system, that the energy that you produced that comes from the solar system is actually the energy that you were going to use to turn on your microwave that evening.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Michael. If you would like to learn more about All Energy Solar and the work they do, or to schedule a free solar quote, visit allenergysolar.com. You're listening to Green Tea Conversations on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Green Tea Conversations, where we delve into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine and talk to the professionals who share their expertise on natural health with you. Today we're visiting with Michael Allen, who is the CEO of All Energy Solar, a full-service solar energy company located in St. Paul. One of the things that I find really impressive is you really are able to help the client from start to finish throughout the entire journey that you would go through.
Yeah, you know, we've always felt that producing your own electricity at your home is something that a lot of people, they find it's really exciting, almost exhilarating, and they really appreciate the experience of being able to do that. And we recognized that very early on when we started All Energy Solar, and we wanted to capture that, and we wanted people to keep that excited momentum that they had when they first were having those ideas of wanting to do the project, and then carry that all the way through. So one of the ways that we feel that we separate ourselves is by providing that exceptional customer experience. Everybody gets their own individual project manager, and that project manager, typically you don't have to call them, they call you. They're updating you as often as you'd like. And we have customers that want daily, weekly updates on every technical aspect of the project. And then we have customers that say, email me when it's ready to go. So you have a wide range of customer base, but we allow our customers to kind of customize their experience to how they want. It's our job, you know, providing a strong product and service is kind of just the foundation of who we are. What really kind of puts us apart, I feel like, is our customer and project management teams and making sure that customers are really happy and really excited about what they just went through and the new product and service that they have on their home, and that they have a company that's going to support them for the next many decades to come.
So out of curiosity, how long does it usually take from start to finish if you're looking at doing this on your home?
It really depends on utility to utility, and then also township or city to city. But if I average it out, we typically see projects from the time that a project decides to move forward by signing a contract to the time that they have PTO, that's permission to operate, from the utility. That's typically about 3 to 4 months is what we see.
So now is like the perfect time, actually, to start planning if this is something you want to do this year. And one of the things I want to get into first is if you could help us understand what the renewable portfolio standards are for Minnesota.
Yeah, the renewable portfolio standard, the RPS, or another commonly used acronym is RES, Renewable Energy Standard, Renewable Portfolio Standard. Long story short, they're acronyms that have been used for a long time, but they're gaining a lot more popularity right now. There are a lot of states that are on board and saying that they are going to dedicate and commit to generating a certain percentage of the electricity within that state via renewable sources. So for the state of Minnesota, it actually dates back, I think it dates back to 2000, 4. In Minnesota, though, our current RPS is 25% of all of our power we want to come from renewable sources. It doesn't necessarily say where, but it just says from renewables. So, and the state of Minnesota has actually met that requirement. It's hats off to the state of Minnesota, to Governor Walz, to all of our previous administrations for committing to renewable energy at a very early stage. Now, that being said, Minnesota at one point was called the Saudi Arabia of wind. And the reason for that is if you go to the Southwest Minnesota plains, you can't wear a hat without it blowing off when you get out of the car. It has a constant, consistent wind, and that is a fuel source as a wind provider that you just lick your chops for. And so the state of Minnesota has been known across the world as a place to generate a lot of consistent renewable energy via wind power. And so the lion's share of renewable energy that comes from Minnesota is via the wind market. But solar is slowly increasing, and the current Minnesota standard is 25% from renewable energy sources, which we've met. Of that, solar energy industry wanted to get 10% of that power from solar power, and then of that 10%, they wanted 1.5% to come from small residential and small business sources of energy, of solar, so which we have met, which is very exciting. But it also then shows that we've got a long ways to go, and we're already there, and there's still a very small amount of solar energy on the grid. So we've got a long ways to go.
And so that's something that you're looking at trying to increase this year?
Well, I think the appetite for changing the renewable energy standard might not be on the table this year, or of interest for a lot of legislators. But I think the conversation can be started, and I think that I think more and more people with the new administration on the federal level I think a lot of state leaders are going to start asking the questions as to what else can we do and how much more can we do. And now is the right time to be asking that and to start increasing our standards to make Minnesota a cleaner, greener place.
Now, I know that you're very active when it comes to working in the politics of it all. What are some of the things that you're working on currently? It must be kind of exciting to see the new administration come in and see that there's perhaps a little light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to renewable energy again.
Yeah, on the federal side of things, I think anybody within the renewable energy industry was pretty excited to see Joe Biden take over and extend the federal tax credits that we saw. Now, actually, those tax credits were extended under President Trump's term, but we know that Joe Biden's going to take renewable energy a little bit more seriously, and it's going to be at the front of his agenda. So we're excited about that. But tomorrow, on a local level within the state of Minnesota, we're extremely excited about Governor Walz and Senator Gazelka and Representative Hortman and their leadership that they've all shown as we move into the 2021 year. It's going to be an interesting session. So far, I don't believe it's going to change, but it's going to be 100% virtual. So it's going to be a little bit more tricky to get things done, to have those conversations with some of the legislators that you normally would have had in office in person. Minnesota has led the Midwest as far as renewable energy adoption.
So speaking of that, are there currently any rebates and incentives? Are those still continuing or have those kind of wound down now?
Yeah, there's still lots of different programs. The biggest one that everyone knows is the big utility with Xcel Energy. Kudos to Xcel Energy. At the end of the day, you know, a lot of people give them a bad name, a bad rap. But the reality is they have a very forward-leaning, progressive program to encourage renewables within their territories. And we're very proud to work with a utility like Xcel. They've got a great rebate program that can pay upwards of 15 to 20% of the total project over a 10-year period. That's pretty exciting. And then you have other utilities like Conexus and Dakota Electric, who are also very, very forward-thinking with their interconnection rules, Dakota with their rebate program. I think anywhere in the state of Minnesota, traditionally, you have a sympathetic utility on your side that wants to allow consumer choice. And it's something that I don't think a lot of other states have, but it is pretty encouraging within the state of Minnesota that there are utilities that are all surrounding the Twin Cities and outstate that really want to see their customers have the opportunity to choose the type of electricity that they use.
So, Michael, I think one of the things people tend to think that any kind of renewable energy is really just so extraordinarily expensive, and that they probably can't afford to have it in their own homes. What would somebody expect for it to cost if you wanted to have that put on your home? With the help of the rebates and that type of thing, how affordable can it be?
Thanks, Candy, for asking that. Because I think just naturally people think that, oh, someday I'll be able to afford that. The reality is that most people don't go to the car dealership and cut a check for $35,000 for their car. They take out a loan. Most people don't buy a house without taking out a loan. And what we want people to kind of bring back front and center for them is that you would do the same thing with a solar project. So we have projects that are as inexpensive as $8,000 to $10,000 on the very small scale side of things. But then we have projects that are $50,000, $75,000, $100,000. It really just depends on how much electricity you use and how much solar you want to build. But where it really gets exciting is when we compare it to your electric bill and the monthly payments for your electric bill versus the monthly payments for your solar system. We can more often than not, on a decent home or a decent property within Minnesota, we can actually get your loan payment less than what your electric bill would have been.
Wow.
So you can become cash flow positive day one that the project gets turned on. So when you think about it, you say, well, gosh, it's so expensive. Well, typically you don't pay for really large expensive things in with cash. You take a loan out for them. Well, we can provide you that loan, and that loan in many cases can be lower than what you're paying already for your electric. The difference here with us and with the solar system is that you own this. You own the electricity versus renting it from the utility company. We always encourage people, if you have the means or the capability to take out a loan or to pay for it, it's better to own it than to rent it.
And it has quite a long life expectancy. I mean, this is something that you're investing in. You're really investing into your future.
I think it's important before I point out the individual technologies and the expected life expectancy for them is that it's only as good as the company that designs it and then installs it. You always want to make sure that you're working with a company that's going to stand that has stood the test of time and is going to continue, and that you feel comfortable picking up the phone and calling if there's ever a problem. The technology that we use is technology that's been around for a long time. Actually, like I mentioned earlier, from 1954, it really hasn't changed too much since then. So they're able to put long-term warranties on these products. The panels typically are warrantied for 25 years. Your inverters are warrantied for 10 to 25 years. So the reality is that if the project's properly designed and installed, you can feel good and comfortable that you're going to have a solar energy system that's going to be producing clean energy for you for the next 25 to 35 years.
One thing that I do want to mention too, for people who are interested, you have a very robust Facebook page and website with a lot of really great information. You guys have some really great blogs in that. So I want to really encourage people to go and check out your website, which again is allenergysolar.com. Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. You're listening to Green Tea Conversations on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Green Tea Conversations, where we delve into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine and talk to the professionals who share their expertise on natural health with you. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, and we are welcoming back into our studio Linda Conroy, owner of Moonwise Herbs in Stoughton, Wisconsin, and founder of the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference. We are so glad that you're with us again today, Linda. Thank you for coming back.
You're welcome, Candy. Thanks for having me.
So we were talking to you last fall when you had the Mycelium Mushroom Conference, and you are now offering this winter something brand new. It's a women's wellness series that you call In Our Own Hands, and this begins February 13th. So tell us a bit about the intent of the women's wellness series.
So our team, the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference team, we have been hosting, you know, we're going into our 10th year and we've been hosting women's conferences focused on, overall health and personal growth for years. And we've never offered a winter event. And so with the pandemic, it spurred us to think, oh, people are going to have even more cabin fever than usual. And we wanted to continue offering skill building and knowledge and information. So we started this series, which we're offering for the first time, called Do It Yourself, In Our Own Hands, Women's Wellness Series. And so taking our health into our own hands and, you know, taking responsibility and educating ourselves to keep ourselves well during the winter months, we thought would be just the perfect thing to focus on since a lot of us have cabin fever. So we started it this year, but we intend to do it, in the winters to come.
And this is a completely online virtual conference, so anybody can join from anywhere.
Yep.
And it is actually a 6 series plus a women's roundtable at the seventh session of the series.
Right.
But you have some like really amazing speakers who you are bringing into this.
We really do. And, you know, we usually start our conferences off with a opening ceremony. So our first speaker is Ruth Barrett, who is a priestess and ceremonialist, and she's going to be offering a workshop on ceremony and creating personal ritual in your life. And it's a 3-hour deep dive into doing that. And it's interesting because when women come and offer these ceremonies at the conference, they often are teaching some of our coordinators how to do ceremony. And so, you know, we all would like to learn more about that. How do we just create personal ritual in our own daily lives? And, you know, what are some great ideas for doing that? So we're super excited about that first workshop to kick off the series.
You know, it's really interesting because the pandemic this year has really caused us, we haven't been able to do many of the rituals or the ceremonies that we have done in the past, whether it be just ritual things that we do with our families, getting together for certain events, doing that type of thing. And people have really become disconnected. So to be able to really learn that on your own, something that you can bring into your world every day, whenever you feel you need it, that's a really important aspect of self-care.
Absolutely, no doubt. Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, being able to look at ways that we can care for ourselves, you know, because as women, we're caring for our families and our communities and holding space for other people. So how do we do that for ourselves in our daily life, day in and day out, so we can stay strong and well?
And then you are the second speaker in the series. So the first session is actually on February 13th. And then 2 weeks later, you have a workshop that's called Stirring the Cauldron, Herbal Nourishment for Vitality. Tell us a bit about that class.
So it's interesting because basically I'm going to talk about ritual in the kitchen and nourishment and the things that you'll, you know, basically the tools you'll want to have in your kitchen to create that, that ritual and that rhythm and to bring things into your kitchen and stir it into the cauldron that create vitality in our lives. You know, like I just, yesterday I made what I call crispy nuts, and I toss it with seaweed, and it's a snack I make for myself. So I have that on hand, a healthy snack, so I'm not grabbing for something that's, you know, not going to nourish me. So how do we create vitality through our kitchen, through that cauldron? And it's, you know, it's both metaphoric as well as, you know, tangible, that we can do that in our kitchens day in and day out, these simple things to be able to create more vitality in our lives.
Are you going to have different recipes that you're going to be sharing with people as well?
So I'll share recipes. I'll share ideas. I'll share information, like what is nutritious and what can we bring in that's nourishing and what does create vitality. I'll talk about, you know, a lot of different things to give people information and tools and skills, tangible skills for bringing into your kitchen and making your kitchen that just really vital place. I mean, that's where our health comes from, is that cauldron, that hearth, so to speak.
Right, where we bring our families together.
Yes.
So then on the 13th, March 13th, you have Cornelia Cho, who's doing a workshop called Becoming Your Own Best Ally, Tools for Taking Charge of Your Life.
Yes, we're super excited about this. Dr. Cho gave a keynote address on this topic, a short, you know, address last spring, and really piqued people's interest about, she's a pediatrician, and she'll talk some about how brain science influences and gives us information about how we can take care of ourselves and our well-being, how we can communicate differently with ourselves and with each other. It's, you know, how we can really connect with ourselves and listen to each other and to ourselves to be our own best ally, you know. And, you know, I think sometimes we do things that undermine unconsciously, that undermine or self-sabotage. So she's got all kinds of tips and tricks and ideas, and she's just a delight. And she brings the science into it. That's the thing. Sometimes it's nice to hear those scientific pieces to understand why you would do something or what's happening. So it's super exciting to have her.
Now, the cost, you can take only one course if you want, or you can sign up for the series. So the cost of each course is $75.
Correct.
And then for the cost of the series, for all six of them, is $279. So
that's correct.
Signing up for the whole series is like getting two and a half of those sessions for free, or just $47 a session. So that's a great deal.
It is a really good deal. And, you know, we're actually going to be running a flash sale where you can gift someone else. If you sign up for the series, you can gift someone else a class.
So oh, wow. Yeah. Well, we are going to be having you come back into the studio in a couple of weeks on the 21st, and we're going to dive into the other sessions that you have. We're also going to start talking about the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference, which starts in May. And I'm going to ask you to give us some tips and tricks about utilizing herbal plants to have better health in our lives. But for now, thank you so much for being with us, Linda. It's always a pleasure to have you back. And I look forward to being a part of your series with you. For people who want to learn more about the Women's Wellness Series and to register, visit MidwestWomensHerbal.com. You've been listening to Green Tea Conversations on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and I am wishing for you a lovely day. Lovely day, lovely day, lovely day.